Good morning. Well, that was weak. Man, I really didn't mean for the title of The Walking Dead to refer to our Sunday morning audience, but man, it's been a tough week for some of us. There's a lot of folks on vacation. I do appreciate you guys being here this morning. You know, it's just, did you notice something else there? And I just kind of picked up on this. Mark threw me under the bus, just in case you don't like this series. Hey, Scott came up with this one. Did you notice that? If you do like it, he'll be saying, well, I influenced him. I told him how to do that. Seriously, though, guys, this is going to be a fun month. The Walking Dead. How many of you actually have seen the TV series? Well, that'll make it different. That'll make this a little easier this morning because a lot of you guys are already familiar with it. And no, we're not trying to take a spiritual spin on The Walking Dead. But there is something I want to, you know, talk about in this. But let's, I guess, for the benefit of those of you that haven't seen the TV show, I want to introduce the show, tell you a little bit about what goes on there. So some of this whole zombie thing will make sense. How many of you guys ever heard of zombies when you were growing up? Okay, good, good. Those zombies back then were a little bit different. Those were usually the hoodoo zombies that had some kind of curse put on them and they came back to life as The Walking Dead then. But now we've got a different brand of zombie since probably the late 70s, early 80s. A lot of the zombie fiction and science fiction concerning that is usually it's a virus. It's an outbreak of some type. It's some kind of disease. It's something of that nature is what has caused these zombies to come back to life. And they're not really dead, but they're not really alive. And that's kind of what this series talks about. It's more of a, it looks like probably some sort of virus or something. It doesn't have that supernatural voodoo spin on it, which I like a little bit better. I'm a science fiction fan, and I do enjoy watching that sort of thing. Let's look at the cast and crew here. Let's look at the crew from The Walking Dead. Give you a little bit of idea of the type of society they live in. Obviously, a gun would be important, it appears. We have 1, 2, 3 in the promo there. Our hero in the series is Rick Grimes. How many guys, without even seeing the series, can tell me who the hero is? Which guy is he? The guy in the hat, the guy, the good guy with the star on his hat. The good guy always has a cool hat, doesn't he? And a big gun. So Rick is the star of the show. Rick is leading this group of people that have survived this zombie outbreak. And he is leading them through what is left of the world. We haven't seen anything primarily outside of Georgia, which is a really cool thing. The opening episodes are set in Atlanta, Georgia. So you get to see some local sites. You get to see zombies on Peachtree Street. I mean, how cool is that? I've actually seen worse than zombies on Peachtree Street myself. But, you know, if you've ever been down there at dark, there are worse things down there. But at any rate, that is what's going on in this society. Society is broken down, and these people are trying to survive. They're surrounded by these zombies that have come, and for whatever reason, zombies always crave to eat what? Your brains. It's your brains. Zombies always want to eat brains in your flesh. I have no idea why they came up with that as the series thing. Now, if you've watched the series, it's kind of gross. And we're not going to go there. We're going to stay away from the gross stuff. We have sometimes even have children in here. We're not going to go to that grossly. If it helps you to think about it, when you see the zombies, I read this, and actually it was on one of their interviews on TV. Do you know what they use for zombie guts and all that gross stuff? It would make you hungry. They use barbecue. There's a local barbecue restaurant that caters to them. And so all that nasty stuff is actually barbecue. They said, we come away from the set starved to death wanting to eat barbecue because you can smell that hickory smoked barbecue all day. So it's not really as gross as it might seem. But what happens here is we have these zombies. They shuffle aimlessly through life and they're not really alive and just looking for the next person to devour. Let's get our zombie shot there. Yeah, this guy here is one of their zombies. He's kind of one of the famous zombies in this. He's just shuffling along looking for the next person he can make a meal of. Now, I'm guessing this guy in real life had some problems to start with. He has on a purple pinstripe. He has on a purple striped shirt, a blue pinstripe coat, and some kind of yellow patterned tie. I don't think he was real popular in real life, so the zombie may be an upgrade for him. But these guys are shuffling through life. You know, they're aimlessly wandering around, seeing who they can attack and devour. Any of you guys got any people like that in your life? How about at work? How about family members? Do you ever feel that people are after you? What do you guys think? Sometimes it feels like us against the world, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems that we have different values than other people have, and they don't appreciate our values. They don't respect them. They don't see the way we've been presented to live. But let's look at our first passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. This month's series, if you'll notice in the series art, is actually all about Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be reading our Scripture from. So we're going to go through the whole chapter in these next 4 weeks. So if you guys would like to read ahead, kind of know what's going on, do a little study there. Romans chapter 12 is where we'll be at for the entire month. So I'd encourage you to read through that. But verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now the problem is, what does conforming to the world mean? That's a tough thing. That's a tough topic. And the problem is, we all have one thing in common that often keeps us from conforming to what God wants us to be. Let's look at a little video clip here for that.
We're all infected.
What?
But the CDC, Jenner told me.
Whatever it is, we all carry it.
What do you think as Christians it could possibly be that we all carry? Fallen nature. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all have that in common. Even after we become Christians, we still fight with a fallen nature. What has happened here in the video clip you saw is Rick has revealed to the entire party that They once thought that to be infected by these zombies, you had to be scratched or bitten by one or something like that happened. No, what he's telling them is we all have this disease inside of us. It just hasn't been activated yet. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like us and what we struggle with as Christians? That oftentimes there is something inside of us that makes us do things we don't want to do or keeps us from doing the things that God commands us to do. It's a very similar situation that we deal with our lives and when we try to do that. And the problem is, just like this virus that they all have is fatal, the results of us living in sin are fatal. It says Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ is our vaccination against this sin disease. If we don't have Christ, we don't have a hope. We will die and go to an eternity separated from God because of this sin disease that's inside of all of us. So how can we overcome that? What does it mean to not be conformed to the world? How many of you guys grew up with a church background, have been in church before, maybe as a kid? Again, a good portion of you have been in church. I want to talk a little bit about what being conformed isn't. You know, if we're all infected, what does it mean to be conformed but not transformed? How do we conform, or not conform to what the world does, but we're transformed into something different? The church has taken a very unique stance on this throughout the years. What are the biggest three things that you could name that the church would preach against? Come on, just name them. Dancing. Oh, that's a good one. Drinking, smoking, dancing. For a lot of us that grew up in church, and hair length for us guys, that's the standards that we grew up with. We're in the South right now. Some of you guys I know aren't native Southerners, but here in the South, those were the standards of church. And what we began to do is we were using outward appearances to determine how Christ-like we were. Does that make any sense to anybody? Doesn't to me. So you could look good on the outside, but you could be a rotten zombie inside. Does that sound like what God would want for us? Don't you think there's more to life than that, than appearing good? I want to be more than just appear good, don't you? Well, I actually like looking good, but hey, you know, that's one of those vanity things. We all want to look good, but hey, we don't want to be rotten inside. That was one of the things that Jesus had in his day when he was talking to the Pharisees. Those were the religious leaders of the day. he would often tell them, he said, you guys are whitewashed sepulchers, whitewashed graves. You look all good on the outside, and you're all clean and white and sparkly because of the things that you do. On the inside, you're rotten with dead bones inside of you. You're rotten to the core. And that's where we as Christians, what is the number one thing that you often hear people outside of the church say about church people? What are we? Hypocrites. Man, this is so easy. Listen, you guys are just, you're just doing this whole message for me. You know where I'm going with this. What are we called? We're called hypocrites. Why? Because we are. And what makes us hypocrites? We haven't changed the inside, and we've only taken care of some very basic things on the outside. We've tried to look the part or act the part of what we expect Christians to look and act like. And then we judge the people around us. That's coming in a later message, but yeah, that's exactly right. But we do these things. We judge people around us. We judge each other as Christians. What do you think will be the number one question I'm asked as a pastor of Journey Church? And I don't know about Mark. This is his number one question. You know what the number one question asked of me when I invite someone to church? Do you know what their number one question is? Do I have to dress up? What do I wear? Where do we get these crazy ideas? What do I wear? Clothes. That is a great answer. You should wear clothes to church. You should wear them most everywhere. It cuts down your interaction with law enforcement officials. That's one of the things you have to do. You have to wear clothes. I just talked to a guy this week, and he asked me, he said, what kind of clothes and stuff do you guys wear? What do I need to wear if I come and visit? What? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can wear just something that covers the appropriate parts. That's all we ask. That's all you got to do. But some people, that's a big hang-up. And before we get all self-righteous and think, we're the cool church, we let you dress like that and everything, that also means if people want to come dressed up in a suit and tie, they're welcome to, too. It doesn't mean that the church down the street, that everybody enjoys dressing up and wearing a suit and tie, that there's anything wrong with that. Josh and I were just talking about that before the service this morning. We don't like to dress up in suits and ties. This is not our deal. Nikki can probably attest to that. Karen will attest to that for me. Josh's boys think it's the coolest thing. I get to dress up, dude. I get to wear a suit and tie. Look at this. They think it's neat. That doesn't make any difference on whether we're a Christian or not. We have majored on these minor points for so long. And Scripture actually talks about this in John 7:24. It says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. How do we judge with right judgment? That means we're going to have to look at something besides external appearances. We're going to have to look inwardly. We're going to have to realize that we may not look like zombies, but we may be just as rotten on the inside. And we need to figure out what is right and wrong. And the only way I know of to do that is go back and look and see what Scripture says about how we should live. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I don't think this may or may not be in the slides, but do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from evil. Stay away from every kind of evil. What that's doing is telling us to test the standard that is being set forth to be a Christian against what Scripture says. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? If we want to learn how to live right, why would we not use the application guide that God gave us? Now, unfortunately, He didn't give us Holy Bible for Dummies. That would make it a lot easier. I want the simplistic, this is what we do. That's what the church has tried to do. We tried to make it the Holy Bible for Dummies, and we said, well, you know what? If you won't smoke, you won't drink, you won't have long hair, and you won't do certain other activities, you won't gamble, you won't drink any alcohol whatsoever. If you'll do these things, you'll be okay. That's our Bible for Dummies. You know what you get when you follow the Bible for Dummies? A bunch of dummies that don't act like Christians. And I'm not down in any church that has standards. If you want to dress however you want, that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with us playing at being Christians and ruining our testimony in the world because of it. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to go out among these people who are wandering aimlessly, looking to devour us at every turn because they don't have Christ in their lives. We're not supposed to look like them in the way we act. It's not so much the way we dress. It's not our appearance. It's not our taste in music. It's how we act. It's what's inside of us that makes those difference. It's our actions and values as Christians to show we're different from the world. It's not the way I dress. I dress pretty average. I mean, I wear a shirt and jeans. Big deal. How many of you have on a shirt and jeans today? That's pretty much it. How many ladies? We've got a few ladies that wear dresses, which is cool. How many guys have dresses? We won't go there. That will get you a little bit more attention, too. But listen, it's not about all of that. It's not about how I dress. It's about how I act, and it's how people see me act. And sometimes I probably don't act like a Christian. You could ask my wife. She will attest to that. How many wives will attest that your husbands don't always act like Christians? Hey, look at them raising their hands. Boy, that's bold. But it's true. We don't act like Christians. And we know that we should be different. But how do we get down to finding what that difference really is? Because I don't want to waste time on trying to learn things that really aren't in Scripture. Do you? How many of you guys have got plenty of time and you just want to memorize useless facts and go through life not really knowing what it's all about? Has anybody got time for that? I don't. I don't have time for that. We're all busy. We need to value our time in respect to how we use it for God, because we only get so much of it. It's not something you can save. It's not something you can earn. You only have an allotted amount of time, and that's it. And we need to be busy about doing what Christ would have us to do. So in all this setup for what we need to live like, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. And this is verses 17 through 24 from the New Living Translation. It says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." There, in a nutshell, is what we're supposed to do as Christians. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we have to realize the Gentiles were those outside of Christ at that point in time. The word had not been given to them. They had not been given the opportunity to become Christians. They were outside the course of religion there. They were outside of God's approval, if you want to look at it that way. They were the people that were doing the wrong things. We're Gentiles. I don't think anybody in here is Jewish that I know of. You may have some Jewish background, but we're Gentiles. We're the people it was talking about. And Christ came, and we were graciously given the opportunity to enter into God's family through what Christ did for us. As Gentiles, we're now included in this. But this passage of Scripture still applies to the church about what we should do. We shouldn't be like the people in the world that are hopelessly confused and their minds are full of darkness and they wander from life. Well, they wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. Does that sound like a zombie? They're wandering aimlessly through life. They're hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. And they wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. We're just shuffling through life, living day to day with no purpose, with no reflection of the wonderful things that God has done for us, and having no impact on the world around us. That's a Christian zombie. And we don't need to do that. We need to be different. We need to take that internal checkup and see what can we do to be different so that when people see us, they don't look at us because of the way we dress, the music we listen to, our hairstyle, or anything like that, and say, oh, they're a Christian or they're not a Christian. We don't look at that. They look and say, wow, that group of folks over there, they treat people differently. They're concerned about other people. You know, we had a great example of that just a few minutes ago. A family looking to adopt someone. You know, that's great. That meets a physical need and all of that. But guess what else Josh and Nikki are concerned about? The eternal destiny of some child that may grow up to not know who Jesus Christ is because of where they are. And they're willing to open their home up and raise that child and teach them what it means to be a true Christian. That's church, guys. That's Christianity. That's putting in action what the Word tells us. But what trips us up in that? Looking again in the same passage of Scripture, they have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. When we act the way the world acts, what happens to us? We get identified as being just as bad as the world, and we get identified as being hypocrites. Guys, you can't, and this is a pet peeve I have, don't post on Facebook about how great Journey Church is and how great your Savior is, and that same afternoon be dropping the F-bomb all over it. Okay? That's what it's talking about. I mean, people seriously do that. We go for all these impurities in our life, and we let them seep out. And I'm not saying we all have that sin disease. I'm just saying let's do what we can to keep a lid on it so other people don't get splattered by the mess in our lives that when we don't have it all together. And I'm not saying playing a game. I'm saying, you know, come on, guys. Use some common sense. Use some common sense on the things we do. I mean, I love posting and talking online and debating online and all that, but there's no need to go into some areas. And it ruins our testimony. You will find in today's time, and I think it will increase as we go on, that online activity, Facebook and social media, is ruining marriages. It happens. We get on there and we start spouting off, maybe about our spouse. Duh, your spouse probably reads your Facebook account. Well, mine doesn't because she didn't ever turn her computer on. So I'm safe. But you guys would tell her, so it's just as bad. If I say anything about Karen, it will get back to her. It will get back to your spouse when you go on and you start doing these things. You know, all this comes back to haunt us when we live this impure life. And we know more about Jesus than to do that. That isn't what we learn from him. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. We're deceived when we behave like that. We're deceived as Christians when we act the way that the world acts, when we react the way that the world acts to situations. You know, I will guarantee you in the next 3 to 4 weeks that Christians will do more stupid things than any time during the year. Do you know why? It's election time, and we have got to make sure that everybody knows that whoever we say is the right candidate is, by golly, endorsed by God, and you should vote for him or you're going to hell. That's the way our attitude comes across, and that's what this is talking about here. Come on, guys, you know more truth than that. Yeah, just hate and disdain. Just, it's like, oh, you guys are just so messed up. You're just, oh, it's so awful. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved in the political process. I think we have a great privilege in our country to be involved in that. But let's not go throwing off on people that don't have the same opinion as us. And we'll talk more about that later in this series. But again, it's this new nature we should have that shouldn't be influenced by these things. And this new nature comes from us accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we do that, things should change. Things should change. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, because we've all said we all have this sin virus inside of us. We sin, we do things in the flesh that we shouldn't do. We know that. But the difference is our attitude towards it. When we do it, are we repentant about it, or would we just say, that's the way of the world, and I'm going to go that way too? Look at 2 Corinthians 5. This is verses 15 and verse 17. And I'm going to read verse 17 first, because this is the verse we often hear. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Their old life is gone and a new life has begun. When people accept Christ, we often tell them, you have this new life. You've got this new beginning. God has forgiven your past. You've got a clean slate. God starts things over in your life, and that's great. But we ignore two verses up in that. Why that is, it says, because he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Those verses go together. We got that newness, not so we got a shiny new life and all our problems go away and we kick all our bad habits and our addictions and all the trash and stuff in our lives go away. That's not the reason God saves us. That's great that he saves us from that, but he saves us to be active and to do something and not live for ourselves. Instead, living for Christ. Living for Christ means being Christ-like in everything we do. No matter how minor it may be, we need to be reflecting the Savior in what we do. People need to see that in our lives. And that's, again, where they're not seeing that. We've got this new life, and I hate it. And I do it, and we all do it because of our sin nature. We basically just trample all over Jesus. Jesus has done these things for us, and we value more what we want than what he's done for us, and we just say, forget about it for a little while. It's okay. Or we take the attitude about, oh, none of us are perfect. He'll forgive me for it anyway. That's a horrible attitude to have. It's not the way we're supposed to live as Christians. And that's what this whole series is about, is that's to take some time and internally reflect. Guys, let's get excited about living for Jesus. Let's get excited about doing the right thing. Let's get excited about being different from the world. Let's get excited about all the things that God has planned for us, even though we may be walking through a very dark time in our life right now. God, nowhere in the scriptures has he promised us an easy road because we accept him. As a matter of fact, it's going to make us hard. It's going to make it harder for us. If you've ever watched a zombie movie, what do? They travel in huge groups, don't they? And they're all in one direction, like this. Well, what happens to us as Christians is we're usually going against the stream of the world. We're going in a different direction than what they're going. And it creates conflict. It creates conflict in our lives, our marriages, our families, our friends. When you take and you start living a true life that a Christian lives, you're going to get some pushback from the zombies of the world. They're not going to like that. Satan is on their side. They have the force of his evil behind them. They're going to push against what's right. It's just the way this world is. But don't give up hope. One Christian can overcome all the hordes of the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have that power in you? The Holy Spirit lives in us. Mark spent the last few weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. We have the greatest power in the universe. I mean, it's bigger than the universe even, that lives inside of us every day as Christians. We can battle against anything if we'll just do it. We can go against the zombie horde. They don't stand a chance against us. The world doesn't stand a chance against us because we have a portion of God living inside of us and directing us. And guess what? That's what that goes back to in the first passage of Scripture about testing the Scriptures and seeing what's true and doing the right thing. The Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us, and he shows us what to do in each and every situation. The world calls it your conscience often. Well, when your conscience starts to bother you, Christian, it's usually the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to tune up. You need to check the attitude, and you need to realize what you're doing is not acceptable. It's not what you should be doing as a Christian. And a lot of times, like I said, we get so involved in everyday life. And I'm just as bad as you guys are. My life's just as hectic, crazy things going on. You know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean that God puts this fence around us and nothing bad ever happens. It's how we react to those things. And I will guarantee you, you will practice and you'll live your entire life here, and I don't think you'll ever get that all together. I don't think you'll ever get to the point. I think as we grow as Christians, I think God moves the bar up another notch. He moves it up for us. Once we get one piece going, he's like, man, that's great. Dummy down there finally got it. Scott finally figured that out. So guess what? I'm going to move it up another notch for him to try and reach, because he wants us to continue to grow through our entire lives. As Christians, we need to grow. We need to learn. We need to learn more about Scripture. And guess what? 30, 45 minutes or an hour and a half, if Mark is teaching, we on Sundays is not the only time that we do it. I'm just picking on Mark because we have a running bet about who gets finished first. This isn't the only time you guys should be absorbing what Christianity is about. You should be living it every day. You should be reading Scriptures. You should be listening to voices outside of Mark and I. There's plenty of good other teaching available that you can look. There's books you can read. But I'll caution you, even with what Mark and I say, test it against Scripture and make sure it makes sense. Make sure what we say or anybody else says jives with what God's Word said. If it does, man, that's great. That's great. And you need that. You need to continue to learn. But finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at some practical things here that it tells us as Christians that we can do. And this is where Doggone it. The Bible gets kind of preachy at times. Have you noticed that? It gets, you know, it's just like, well, you need to do this. That's not acceptable in our society, is it? Being preachy is a bad thing because we use it in a negative connotation. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me what I should do. I'm my own man or woman. I know what's best. I'm an individual, and I will do this. That cannot be your attitude as a Christian. You have to sometimes accept the fact you don't have it all together. God does. He'll show you how to get it all together. But you've got to read his word. You've got to understand it and apply it. So let's look at this last passage of scripture. So stop telling lies. Well, there's a good one, huh? Let us tell our neighbors the truth. My neighbor's here. Maybe I shouldn't tell him the truth, but you know, he might be offended. But we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Again, there's the Holy Spirit. Don't sorrow the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. Guarantee that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I don't know about you. I'm ready to quit right now. That's a tough list of things to do, isn't it? That's a lot to demand of us. Where does God get off demanding that? Well, he gets off demanding that because he gave his son to enable us to do that. He knew that we would not be able to do that on our own. He knew that we don't have the power in ourselves to do what is right. He knew it took more than that. And he graciously, sacrificially gave his son to us so that we might have a better life and that we might live with him in glory forever and ever in his presence. Man, that should be enough for all of us to aspire to live the right life. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior this morning, if you said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ came, he died for me, he paid a penalty I couldn't pay. I'd racked up such a debt, there was no way I could pay it off to God. God realized my sinful nature, and I should be condemned for it, but Jesus Christ came and died in my place, and I accept that. If I accept that and believe that he rose again on the third day, and he has covered my sins. And if I believe in that, if I trust wholly in that, that I will be able to gain eternal presence with God. I will be with him for all eternity. Man, if you've done that, that's fantastic. That's the gospel in a nutshell, I like to call it. That's what gets you to heaven. But guess what? Unless Christ comes back in the next 5 minutes, we're not going to be in heaven this afternoon. We're going to be living here on earth. And that's the reason he has given us all these responsibilities and all these things in Scripture that tell us, this is what you need to do. You're going to be here a while. I'm not taking you home yet. You're not going to be with me. And while you're here, because of what I've done for you, this is what I require of you. We owe our Savior, our Lord, a debt. We need to live our lives in the realization of that. We need to realize there are things that we can't do as Christians. There are things that are not appropriate for us. There are ways we can't act. We can't use foul and abusive language. We can't bring sorrow to the Spirit. We can't have bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, any type of evil behavior. We've got to put those things behind us. That's what sets us apart. That's what keeps us from being Christian zombies and shuffling through life. And the church has been negligent in that at times. We devour each other just like the world does. We come in here and we put on our Sunday morning face and we go out in the world and we talk about that person at church that we don't like. We talk about this we don't like. We talk, you know, all these negative things. And then we start in on, here's these people out in the world. Those idiots. They don't know who to vote for. They're horrible. They believe in this. They believe in that. They don't know Jesus, guys. They don't know how to act any better. They're zombies. They're going to act like zombies. Have you ever seen any zombie movie where the zombie just all of a sudden said, I'm not going to eat brains anymore. I'm going to straighten up and I'm going to be an upstanding zombie. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to get me a job and I'm going to get me a car, some new clothes and stuff. I know I still look a little bad, but hey, I'm not going to be a zombie anymore. It doesn't work. It's in their nature. They're zombies. The people around us are like that, guys. And they're looking at us as the church for a solution. And we're not giving it to them sometimes. And I encourage you as we go through this series every week to reflect internally and say, I don't want to be a Christian zombie. I want to be an example. I went to Jesus Christ because of what he did for me. I want to do this back for him while I'm here on earth. I want to serve him. I want to do the things that I should do. That's what it's all about. You know, guys, it's amazing the questions I sometimes get from friends that don't go to church and the opportunity I have to influence them sometimes. You guys need to look for that opportunity all around you. I'm sure you have friends that aren't Christians, or maybe Christians that aren't fully involved in the faith, that aren't serving, that aren't living the exciting life, the Holy Spirit-filled life that they're intended to live. Man, it's a great opportunity to talk to them. You know, I gave you a little while ago the negative side of social media. Do you know there's a really positive side to it as well, that we can use it? If we will not get out there and show ourselves, you know what that means? Your mama ever tell you, don't show yourself? Yeah, what that means is don't go out and act a fool. Don't act as a non-Christian. If you will keep that in mind and use that in social media, you can be a positive influence. One of my very good friends this morning, who I don't think is a believer, I'm not sure, he Facebooked me a question today about church. Do you know what he wanted to know? Now, this is a crazy one. You know, if you're up on a Sunday morning, and I think it may be because where he's at this week, you know what his question was, what the church thought about his one topic, his hot topic for this morning? You know what he wanted to know about? Gambling. That's really low on my list, guys, of things that, yeah, I think I need to educate the world. We need to have a seminar on gambling and its evil. Yeah, gambling can ruin lives. But that was his question because he's heard the church preach against gambling so much. He didn't ask me, you know, what does the church think about orphans and widows? He didn't ask me, what does the church think about serving people? What does the church, how do they take care of their own? He didn't ask me, well, what does it mean to Jesus' love? Why did he do this? He wanted to know what the church thought about gambling. Guys, we've got a publicity problem in the church. If that's what people outside are worried about is what we think about gambling, man, we've got a whole world that's a whole lot more screwed up than just gambling. That's not what we need to be focused on. But in saying that, we've got to realize the people we're called to reach have a preset mindset about who we are and what's important to us. I very rarely get up thinking, I need to go and I need to talk to everybody around me about the evils of gambling. That's just not on my radar, guys. It's not, I don't, drinking, even though I work with people that suffer from addictions quite often, that's not the first thing I get up in the morning and say, I need to warn everybody about the evils of alcohol. What I need to do is get up each morning and pray, God, I want your son to show through what I do today. I want your life to be my life. I want to have a positive impact on the people around me, and I want them to crave what I have. I want them to say, I no longer want to be a zombie. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to aimlessly go through life. I want to have purpose in my life. And that's my prayer this morning for you guys. Man, if you guys would get ready to come back up, that's my prayer for you, that this morning you'll have an impactful life as a Christian. People will look to you and say, hey, you know, and I'm honored that my friend asked me about gambling. That means he respects me enough as a Christian to say, hey, this guy will shoot straight with me and not tell me that he won't preach to me. He'll just shoot straight and tell me what he thinks the Bible says. Man, that is such a privilege for me to be able to do that with one of my friends. And I pray, guys, that you will develop those relationships in your life as well. You need to have relationships outside of Journey this morning, guys. You need to have relationships that are out in the world. You need to rub shoulders with the zombies. You're not going to turn into one just because you rub shoulders with one, okay? You need to be out there in amongst them doing what you need to do. And guys, let's just pray for that this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your many blessings, God. We thank you this morning for your son, that he came to save us, God. We thank you that he is so awesome, God, that he gave his very own life so that we could have more of a life here and then have a life in eternity, God. We so often only focus on the eternal portion of it. or the earthly part of it. God, it goes hand in hand. And we're preparing here by serving to serve you for all eternity, God. And I just pray, God, as we're here this morning, that we'll examine our own hearts, God, and we'll look and see where we need to improve, where we need to be more like your son, where we need to be more of an influence in our society, wherever it's at, God. I pray that we'll have friends that ask us questions about you. I pray that we'll have friends that come here to enjoy fellowship together and worship you with us. Even if they don't know you as Savior yet, God, I pray that they'll come to this place that will be open and inviting, God, so that they can get away from those struggles in life, even if it is just for a few minutes on a Sunday morning, God, that they can see hope and we can share the hope that's in us with them, God. And I just so pray this morning that those things will happen in our lives and that as we go through this series, God, yes, we're using popular culture as so be it a hook to bring people in so that they'll see this and be curious about it, God. And I pray that it's effective because God knows we need to be effective in the world around us, that we need to be a positive influence. We no longer need to be looked at as the hypocrites, God. We need to be looked at as the solution for life and for how to live, God. And I just pray this morning as we close that we'll reflect on that, God, and your will be done in all our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.